pounds,
dollar,
millionaire,
dollar,
pound, pound,
dollar.
Here we are.
Welcome to
Axe to Grind Overtime. My name is Bob, and today joining me is
Ryan from One Step Closer and Anxious.
And
I'm sorry, the call just broke up for like 45 seconds there. So
oh my god,
totally missed the first half of that.
Okay,
all right.
Here we'll do it again. Ready?
Okay. I'm ready now.
Welcome to Axe to Grind Overtime. My name's Bob, and joining me today is
Ryan from One Step Closer and Anxious.
and Grady from One Step Closer and Anxious.
What's up, dudes? How you doing?
I'm doing pretty well. I'm just hanging out. I'm in my mom's backyard with her multitude of animals. It's a good time.
Yeah, I'm also doing pretty well.
All right. We're going to talk about the multitude of animals real quick.
Okay.
So, hold on. We're going to ask Ryan this first. So I know Grade's mom has a pig. What other animals
like that?
Yeah. What other animals does Grady have at the house over there?
Okay. So he has two dogs, Betty and Porkins. And then, show cat, rest in peace, but that's about it. Oh, yeah. I think, right?
Yeah. We only got three right now, so maybe it's a bit of a stretch to call it a multitude.
I think by literal definition you're correct by saying multitude. it is more than one, so
yes.
So what's up, dude? So we're just chatting. It is a weird, what is today, Tuesday afternoon? And what If the world wasn't on fire with coronavirus, would you guys be on tour right now, or is this downtime? Was there something happening right now?
Downtime.
I think it was downtime, right?
Yeah,
right.
It would be downtime.
Because Grady, you are enrolled in school. You would be at Penn State taking classes, doing the whole thing.
Yes.
Ryan,
but I'm hanging at home.
Yes, taking online courses.
Yes.
And Ryan, you would be you'd be doing kind of the same thing you're doing right now, like getting knee deep on the One Step Closer record, right?
Yeah, pretty much. We were going to use this time anyways as like time to finish the record. So it kind of just worked out where we have even more time, I guess. So, which is cool, but.
So the thing to me that one of the reasons I enjoy talking to both you guys a lot, and I think you have cool, unique perspectives on stuff. None of us are scientists or doctors, so we're not going to get too heavy on like COVID-19 talk. However, Ryan, you were in Europe when this stuff all hit, because One Step Closer was on tour with Turnstile and Glitterer and Gag. So can you tell us that story? Because I think you guys were in the UK when Trump announced that there was going to be a travel ban. And I think that threw everyone for a loop. And there was like a huge fear factor going on. So. Feel free, go on a rant and tell us what that was like.
Let me tell you how much of a shit show that was. Honestly, it was like probably I don't know, it was like 1 a.m. there, and we just got to our hotel, and then Turnstile, I don't think Gag was staying at that hotel too, but Turnstile was staying at that hotel, and so was Ned. So they were like a couple rooms down from us, and all of a sudden, like, first off, like, Connor from Magnitude, like, calls me, and he's like, bro, you might be stuck in the UK. And I was like, what do you mean? Like, what's going on? And then he's like, didn't you see, like, Trump announced a travel ban? And I was like, oh, my God. And then literally as soon as that phone call ended, I got flooded with probably, like, 15 other people texting me, just, like,
oh God,
freaking out. And I was like, I don't know what's going on. And then obviously everybody else is getting, you know, phone calls and texts from like their family and like friends and stuff. And everyone just kind of started freaking out. So like, I was trying to stay calm and like, be like, yeah, but like, we don't know like what's going to happen, like whatever. And then everybody else was just like, no, we need to get out of here. So, I called like, well, I texted Vitalo and I was like, yo, is there any way you guys can help us like get some plane tickets like super quick? So, you know, we could just get out of here and like whatever. So for like 2 hours, we were like going back and forth with like plane ticket options. And dude, they were just selling out like so fast. Just like,
oh my God.
Well, like we would find one that was like somewhat reasonable and then you would go to buy like pay for them. Cause like we didn't have a credit card that had like a high enough limit, like at the time to like pay for them. So like he was like throwing it on his card for us. And I was like, you know, like super thankful, like whatever, but like, it was just such a pain in the ass to like actually get flights, like, you know, booked and everything. And it was just, oh my gosh, it was crazy. Everyone was just like losing their minds. And like, I thought Ross was literally going to have like a panic attack. Like he was actually like freaking out. It was crazy.
Well, and the other side was, that was all your guys' first time into Europe. Certainly as a band. So, to have that happen is kind of like, one, it's sort of a bummer. Cause as I understand it, you guys missed like a giant show because you had to get on the flights, right?
Yeah, we missed the London show, which was like, it was sold out. It was probably like the biggest show of the tour and probably like the most hyped show of the tour. So they ended up canceling the two shows after that because we went back to like mainland Europe for like the last two shows. But everybody else still played London, but we ended up getting flights that flew out like 2 hours before the show started or something. Oh. And we couldn't switch them.
Right.
Because like Trump never said like, oh, US citizens can still get back in no matter what.
Right.
So
right.
Then the next morning we find out, oh yeah, we could have got in no matter what. And we could have still played London. But then it was like too late because I guess you can't switch your flights.
Tickets. Yeah. You had already bought those tickets 24 hours, whatever.
And... Yeah. So it was just like a huge, like I was super bummed on it. I was really excited for that show. I know like when we posted that we weren't playing, like a bunch of people were pretty upset. So like, I don't know. I kind of just felt bad. It was a bummer.
Well, and I mean, that certainly was one of the shows that like, just looking at, like you said, it was a big show. I think it's probably safe to say that was a show you guys were looking forward to. So here's the hoping next time you're in London, you get the chance to have it be a like a banger like that, you know?
Yeah, and it sucks because now that we are supposed to do a tour in June with Outbreak Fest, and now that's getting rescheduled or whatever. So like, we were supposed to play London, and it was supposed to be with like Fiddlehead and Fury or something like that. So like, that would have been like an awesome show, and like now we're still not going back. So I don't know. Everything kind of sucks right now, but
well, so let's get Grady in here too, because that would have been kind of the next thing that everybody's looking forward to that didn't happen. There was going to be a tour, and we don't have to get too deep in it because I don't, you know, hopefully it happens again, but there was going to be a tour that was like a triple B thing, in Europe in June, and not being able to do that is such a bummer to think about. Because that was going to be great. Are you there? He's muted right now. So I don't know if he's trying to catch up on homework or if the pig's being loud. Grady.
Yo, I'm sorry. I didn't know I was muted.
No, you were muted, man. So were you just rapping? You were talking there?
I was like chiming in there, and I was like, oh, okay. I mean, I guess like, oh, man, I suck.
So, yo, I know for one thing, you were unable to go on the One Step Closer Euro Tour.
Oh, and
that was kind of like, Ryan, you probably know this, but maybe you don't. Like, I definitely had conversations with Grady while you guys were over there where he was bumming. Like, it was like,
I know, dude. Yeah. I actually felt so bad about it. I mean, I was talking to Grady a good bit while we were over there. and he just seemed like he was bumming hard. So
yeah, but I mean, it's
Brady, are you walking or is that the pig? Is that you or is that the pig?
It's probably a good amount of the pig, but also a little bit of the man. Stay in one place if that helps.
Yeah, it will.
okay.
So you were saying band's first time over in Europe.
Yeah, band's first time over in Europe and have to sit it out and watch it all go down from like the windowsill of your college. Is it's not the ideal way to experience it. That's all I'll say about that. I mean,
yo, I want to say it too. Like some of the pictures of the One Step Closer show in Europe were fucking wild. And
it looked crazy.
And that was the thing I kept going, man, if I'm Grady, I'm so bummed because this looked like the best shows.
Oh yeah. And I mean, Caleb, you know, who was filling in for me, made this awesome tour video. That went up a couple days ago and I was just watching it. I was like, wow, this looks like the greatest time ever. And I was not there. This sucks. Shout out to Caleb though.
Yeah. Yo, what are the other bands Caleb does? Because I think they're worth mentioning here.
He does Warmth and Choice to Make, yeah.
Fuck yeah, shout out to both.
And then another band called Renfield that's like up and coming, but that's cool. It's cool stuff. So
one thing that I think is real interesting is that you guys are both in Once Up Closer and Anxious. Two bands that are got lots of plans, that you know, kind of the reason we're talking today. But how is that managing that? Like, is it, you guys are really tight too, which is the coolest. But as example, you also have life going on. Like Brady, you had school stuff and other tours. So it was like, I can't go do this because I've got this stuff that I have to do right now.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, most of the time it's really, really cool. But I mean, I won't lie. And I think Ryan can like, would probably agree with me more and more lately. It's gone from, wow, this is really cool, but also so incredibly stressful. And it's, I don't know, the more realistic you are about things like out in the future, the, you know, the less stressful it gets. But, I don't know. It's like at the end of the day, like it's worth literally any stress because it's, you know, it's all I want to be doing. And I know for Ryan, it's, you know, the same deal. So, I mean, it's great. But yeah, it definitely takes a lot of planning and being real with each other about, you know, what you can pull off.
Yeah, that's definitely true. I feel the same way. I think it's a little, especially recently with all these tours getting canceled and like being rescheduled pretty much on top of each other.
Yeah.
So now it's like figuring out like, oh, are we going to be able to do this now? Or like, or will I not be playing with Anxious and will Grady not be playing with One Step Closer again? Or are we doing this? Are we not? You know, it's like,
yeah,
it's just a huge kind of, it's just a fiasco right now where like before this whole virus started, like I feel like we had everything planned out where like we were both going to be able to be with both bands at all times for like the rest of the year, pretty much.
Oh yeah, and it was
perfect. That would have been nice, but
yeah, like yeah, the way that all mapped out and was kind of like planned was awesome. Like I seeing you guys do that and getting a chance to hear about that is so cool because it was like collaborative and enabled you both to both your bands, to be honest, to have the opportunity to do all the shit you want to do without stepping on each other's toes, you know?
Yeah. No, I mean, it was just kind of everything like was just going back and forth, just like in a really, really solid way. And it kind of just in a matter of 2 weeks, kind of all came crumbling down.
So with that said, so Ryan got to tell us what was the best show of the European tour, by the way, and give us a blow by blow of like some of your highlights. And then Grady, we're going to talk a little bit. I've got something for you after this.
All right. What was my... I think Berlin was probably my favorite show. It was like, you know, it's straight up like right in the city. I think it was like an 800 cap venue with no barrier and it was sold out and just packed to the brim. Like it was insane to like look out and just like see like just a long, it was like almost like a long hallway but it was like a little wider, but it was just filled with people and people were packed up front. People were going crazy. Like, it was sick. That show was like probably my favorite. And that whole day was just cool, 'cause we got to like explore Berlin and like, you know, skate around a little bit. We were like skating inside the venue and like stuff. It was so sick. That was probably my favorite. I think Dresden was probably Once Up Closer's best reaction. And that show was really cool too. But I think like, I don't know. I think all the Germany shows overall were just probably my favorite. It just sucked, 'cause like, when once you get to the UK, it's like pretty much all barrier shows, anything over like 500 cap. So like, that was like our first time playing in like behind barrier, like a barrier, which was like kind of just a weird feeling. And I thought we like owned it for sure. And like, definitely like still like, you know, performed to our best abilities and like really gave it our all, but it was just a different feeling not being able to interact with like, you know, the crowd as much, you know what I mean?
Was that your first experience with Once Up Closer playing behind a barrier?
Yes, just the first. Yeah, that's all. That's One Step Closer's first time.
With Anxious, I know you guys have done it a couple times.
Yeah.
We've had to deal with that vibe a handful of times.
What do you think the biggest difference is for you personally, and like when you're performing? Like, do you feel like you have to like do something different, or do you just try to keep the same energy? Because I think it's so different when you're that much, when there's literally like, hey, we're putting 6 feet between you and the audience.
I felt like I had to like give it more energy, because you have to be more entertaining, like to the people who are just standing there. You know what I mean? Right. Like, because people aren't engaging with you, and like, so like, you have to almost like give it more and like somehow make the vibe just like that much better, so people still find it interesting, you know? So
I
mean,
I totally agree with that.
I would probably echo that too. I mean, it's when there's literally no direct interaction, and I mean, it's not even, people are right up in your face, but they're not doing anything. It's literally, they're also 6, 7, 8 feet away from you. It's like, you almost don't want to give it as much, but you have to like double down on it just for like, I don't know, the sake of like that communication between the audience and you.
Yeah, good stuff. I enjoy it. It's cool, but like,
but it is different. If you had your choice, you're probably gonna pick no barrier.
Yeah, exactly, for sure.
So, Brady, we've had some private conversations about going away to school, which you did. Went away to Penn State, which. Can Ryan, as a Pennsylvania native, please describe where Penn State is in relation to anything else in the state?
It's literally the middle of nowhere. It's the center, the dead center of the state. And there's nothing like a 30 minute drive, and you're just driving through fields of like corn and stuff like that. Like there's nothing there. It kind of sucks.
So while your buddies are in Europe, you are at Penn State. Give me your college experience, because when I eventually went to school, I was living in California, and I was like a commuter. So, and I had taken a few years off, so it was different. But you actually went away for school. Tell me about that, because you've said it in the funniest ways, and I think it should be documented.
I mean, it's interesting. I mean, looking back on it, you know, if I could have, you know, go back a year and said, would I choose this place that's in the middle of nowhere? And it's, you know, kind of that way by design, you know, it's kind of built so like you're relying on the campus and the people on campus and stuff like that. I probably wouldn't have gone that way. I mean, it's funny you brought up, or, you know, that you had, that you were a commuter student, you know, to an extent, you know, being gone, you know, almost every weekend, you know, whether it was just hanging in Wilkes-Barre or, you know, playing shows or something, it kind of had a similar vibe. I went away to school this year. It was my freshman year. I am taking time off after this year to do the band both full time. I was just undecided. They're studying or taking a lot of history courses.
What did we say? I asked you, I was like, oh, have you made a lot of friends there? Do you remember your answer?
I'm sure it was, I have not made one.
I think you said I made one friend, kind of, something like that.
Yeah, it was, I made friends with this one kid, you know, who was just like, you know, we had crossover at the fringes. Like, he was into, like, skateboarding and, like, you know, liked, you know, bands that, you know, operate, you know, on the fringes of, like, things I enjoy. And so, like, we kind of had that correspondence. But, I mean, like, you know, overall, it was, you know, go to class and then go back to your dorm room.
And then drive 2 hours to Wilkes-Barre to see your friends.
Yeah, and then drive 2 hours and spend Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at Ryan's house and then return home.
Yeah, that was pretty much it.
Yo, so I don't know your guys' origin story. Like, how did you two meet and, like, end up in...
Oh, I don't know. That's a good story.
That's a pretty good story. I mean, I'll tell you... I mean, I got a direct message from Ryan in late 2017, I think. And it was OSC. It was OSC's, what, like, first, like, time, first, like, being on the road, like, ever?
Yeah, it was, like, our first, like, we did, like, 4 or 5 shows. It was, like, our first, like, weekend kind of thing. So.
Yeah, and it was just, what, the show was supposed to be in Boston. Right?
Yeah.
And it fell through. So I had just booked like 2 shows at like my local teen center in town. And they had done really, really well, actually. Like, I think like the second one I threw, like, it was like 220 people like paid, which is like absurd. And like half of it was like people that actually wanted to see bands and then just kids from my high school.
Sure.
So it was a cool vibe, but for that reason, whoever Ryan was doing the Boston show through, he sent it my way and said, like, oh, do this show in Connecticut. So Ryan sent me a message. We talked a little bit. I said, yeah, I'll do the show.
And shout out Matt Pummel.
Was it Matt? I couldn't remember.
Yeah, it was Matt. Yeah.
It was Doug. Yeah, so, yeah, Matt sent it to me, and we put this show together, and it was, like, it ended up being on, like, the day of, like, the heaviest snowfall in Connecticut that year. And like,
of course,
I'm telling you, like, I don't think 10 people paid to come to the show. Like, right. I think, like, I would be amazed if there were over 5 people who came to the show. Like,
yeah,
it was like, yeah, it was like, look up like nightmare, like show nightmares, and it was like up there. But I mean, I don't know. Me and Ryan, and then Anxious and One Step Closer, went to like a diner, you know, like a couple miles down the road after the, you know, what was pretty much like a glorified band practice. we just like, I don't know, we sat in this diner for like, like 2 or 3 hours until it was like, you know.
It was like probably like 1 or 2. It was late.
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't know. We just really clicked as friends and as like 2 bands. And I mean, then there's a lot of stuff after that. We did a weekend together. Then I don't know. I mean, do you want to explain what was going down, like, One Step Closer? That was like why I joined.
Yeah. So our old drummer. He was he was something else. Let me tell you.
Tom P, the legend.
Tom P, but I mean, he's a good kid. He's good, but like, we just didn't click well with him, and it was just like, it just didn't end up working out.
Sure, like, and those then, things happen in bands all the time. Yeah.
So like, Tommy, who was playing guitar at the time, he always played drums. He drummed in like every band that I played in when I was like 15, you know what I mean? And like, he wanted to play guitar in One Step Closer. And then, so I like kind of talked to him, and we were just like, yo, could you just like go back on drums and like, whatever. So we kicked it. We like kind of kicked Tom out right before we recorded For Me to You, but we didn't tell him until after Tommy already recorded the drum tracks for the record. So that was kind of shitty, but like, whatever. So we kicked him out after that. And then we were like, well, I thought there was only like one person that I wanted to play, and that was Grady, because, you know, he was straight edge, he's young. We got along with him really well. And like, I was at that point, like, super good friends with him. And we were going up to Connecticut, like, you know, probably like at that point, like at least once a month, I feel like we're up there all the time. Like, I felt like Grady was the one person that I wanted to play. And then everyone was like, yeah, like that, I think he'd be a good fit. So that was like the turning point of the band pretty much. And that's like when I think the band like really like started, you know, we had the early days with Tom and like played a lot of really bad shows, just like every other band. But like once Grady, you know, joined on guitar and Tommy started playing drums, that's like when we actually became like a band, I feel.
Yeah.
Right. When things feel like they change over.
Yeah. It just felt like it felt right. Finally. I don't know.
Yeah.
It
was weird.
So here's my question for you guys. Like, I would say that 2019 was kind of a crazy year for both your bands.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
And like, when you think about that, you know, I think I met Grady. I think I met you like at the end of 2018.
I think that's right.
Started talking right before that. I booked some Fiddlehead show and had Anxious Ply and Ryan. I think I started talking to you a little while after that, but I was aware of what was closer. But like, just to see how much you guys did last year and like how much you've grown, does that feel like, do you ever stop and think, whoa, this is so different than it was even just a year ago? Because as you get older, you realize a year isn't that long. It's long, but it's also not. And you go, oh my God, this is like such a different thing. As you like, you guys both said it, basically starting in a month from now, One Step Closer and Anxious, we're going to be touring full time.
Yeah. I mean, we were both bands pretty much like didn't stop until, you know, December. Just both bands like just had stuff going for a while.
It was also though, like I even like right before we went to Europe, like I don't have a job. Like I lost my job. So like it was like, all right, well now it's like the only thing I really could do right now is just like tour full time, you know, like whatever. So I mean, last year was like the craziest year of my life easily, because that was the first time I've, you know, even ever been to California in general. So like that was just like a huge deal to me. And then doing a full U.S. tour, like, with the two bands that I'm in, like, I don't know, it was just, like, it was just a surreal, you know, thing. I never thought it would actually happen, kind of, so it was just cool.
Yeah, but no, last year was really, really a whirlwind, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, to me, I think about that, and it's like, so last year, the One Step Closer From Me to You 12-inch comes out. The Anxious Get Better 7-inch comes out. I hope everyone hearing this has gotten a chance to hear those records. But right now, you're both in the midst of writing and putting together new records.
Yes.
So let's start. We've gotten a lot of One Step Closer. Let's talk about Anxious.
Sure.
How's that going? Where are you at? What's the latest and greatest on the next Anxious record? And what is it even going to be?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I feel safe, you know, saying that the entire record is written. It's, you know, it's done. We are in the process of demoing it right now. And we were, you know, kind of headstrong in it. And then Dante, who is our other guitarist, his dad thought he came down with COVID, and so he like locked up like Dante and his entire family for like 2.5 weeks. So literally we were kind of like, you know, we just couldn't do anything for, you know, 2.5 weeks. But starting as of yesterday, we're back in demoing mode. So yeah, no, expect 10 new songs, you know, this fall, you know, through yours truly, Triple V Records. So it'll be, that's it. We're looking at studios right now. Yeah, but I mean, it's done. I mean, we just need to hit the studio.
Yeah. Big shout out to Triple Bay.
Hell yeah.
What then for you guys, One's Up Closer, what do you got? You got an LP coming too.
Yeah, we also, we're doing a 10 song LP. We have me and Tommy, everyone else is kind of like afraid to, not really afraid, but like they're kind of also locked up in their houses, like by their families, part mostly, and like kind of just like a little bit of fear because like our county is pretty bad with the virus, I know. But we've just been, me and Tommy have been going to our practice spot every single day and working on stuff. But we have 9 songs, and then we just have to pretty much write one more. And we kind of already have like the ideas for like what we want to do with it. And then we're going to probably start recording around, you know, the same time that Anxious will be. We're just going to have to work out like, you know, like scheduling times pretty much, like, but, yeah, so 10 songs. I mean, I'm super proud of like the, just, I don't know, just seeing the like improvement from like the last record and like seeing everybody grow as like musicians. And it's just, I don't know. I think it's going to be like, I think it's going to blow the last record out of the water, in my opinion. At least for me, it's going to blow it out of the water. I don't know. I guess it'll be, you know, left to be determined for other people, but
for the way people hear it, for sure.
Yeah. But yeah. I mean, for me, like for my personal, like, I don't know, in my opinion, I think it's like 100 times better than the last record. So, and I think it has a lot more creativity and a lot more, you know, to like, I don't know, I
to pick apart stuff.
Yeah, it's just gonna be, it's just different. So I think it's cool, but it's almost done. It's definitely almost done. So
Grady, how would you describe the Anxious record?
It is a lot more melodic than the the 7-inch. I think Ryan, feel free to, you know, back up or, I don't know, dispute it, but I think we're taking a lot more, chances than we did on the 7-inch when we were writing it. Just a little bit more unafraid to try new things and maybe things that, you know, are a little bit, not like outside our ballpark, but a little bit foreign to us. I would expect, you know, songs that are a lot more melodic. I don't know, just, I think, you know, I kind of echo Ryan's feelings, about the OSC record also with the Anxious record, that I think it's going to blow, you know, I don't even think the two records will be like comparable. I just think it's going to blow that record out of the water too. Yeah. I don't know. 10 songs that air much, much more outside of the world. So, yeah, that's what to expect, I would say.
Okay, yeah, definitely.
This is where I get to ask you guys hard questions about the record.
Okay.
What would be some of the bands that you reference? Like, what are some of the bands that you think of or sonically that you were kind of thinking, like, man, these are the things that are inspiring this record?
Mm-hmm. I mean, for Anxious, I'm pulling a lot of, me and Dante have kind of been like writing back and forth, you know, he writes a song and then I'm doing editing on it and I'll write a song and he's doing editing on it. But I mean, as far as like bands I'm trying to reference, I'm thinking like You're Freaking Me Out era, Sam I Am. You know, I mean, both you guys know I'm, you know, a huge, huge Far Side head. So a lot of like Monroe Doctrine era, stuff like that. I know, I mean, I wish I could ask Dante in this moment, like, where he's pulling from, because he's, like, the most eclectic person ever.
Oh, yeah, he really is.
Yeah, no, he'll, you know, he won't even listen to, like, bands. He's like, oh, yeah, I'm pulling from, like, some crazy 60s composer.
Right, yeah.
You know, he's nuts like that, yeah.
To go into his musical, like, array.
Oh, yeah, it's honestly absurd to just listen to that dude talk about, like, I don't know what he's into and what he's pulling from. I don't know. For me, the biggest stuff I'm pulling is like Sam I Am. There's like one or two songs on the record that are a lot slower, kind of like the Kill Holiday record.
Oh, wow. Look at you.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm really excited to try like something out like that. But yeah, I mean, in a nutshell, those are the bands and sounds we're pulling from.
What about you, Ryan? What about this One Step Closer record? What are some of the things you're thinking about with it?
Obviously, like, you know, the big, obviously, like, everybody knows Turning Point is a huge, huge influence, but also, like, Have Heart's been, like, a big influence, I feel, just from playing those shows and, like, kind of, like, I just, like, revisited, you know, those records, and, like, I forgot how much that I truly, like, loved them, so, you know, and, yeah. Like, mm-hmm. It was just, like, that's definitely a big thing for me, at least, and then even bands like Flagman and, like, you know, like, a lot of 90s, like, emo, like-ish hardcore bands, and even 90s emo bands have always been, like, a huge, you know, pull for us. Even one band I've been listening to a lot recently, this band called On the Might of the Princes.
On the Might of Princes, yeah.
On the Might of Princes, yeah. They're from Philly, I think, or, like, something like that.
Long Island, yeah.
Or yeah, Long Island, okay, yeah. So, like, that band and that one record, I forget the name of it, but I've been, like, pulling a lot of inspiration from that because it's really, like, a unique, like, emo record, and, like, mm-hmm. it sounds really sick, and, like, it's just a band that Tommy randomly showed me, and I just, like, fell in love with. So, like, I've been trying to also pull just from, like, random places. Like, there's a part in one of the songs that sound like a Goo Goo Dolls song for some reason. Like, you probably won't be able to hear it, but I hear it, you know?
Sure. No, right. I mean, yeah, like, I just read this, like, where the dude from the Bad Brain said, like, oh, I people wouldn't pick up on this, but I really like that band Winger. And if you listen to a Winger record, Winger's like hair metal, like weird, like butt rock hair metal. But he's like, if you listen to Eye Against Eye or you listen to Quickness, he's like, if you listen to that record after a Winger record, you'll hear it. So I'm such a huge fan of when hardcore or punk bands or whatever are pulling in all these unique influences, because it's like putting in different ingredients into the pot. Like, yeah, like tomato soup is fine, but like if you spice it up and put a few different things in there, it can be something special.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the same thing. I've just been trying to like broaden my horizon of like music I've been listening to. For some reason, I'm like on like a huge Beatles kick right now. I don't know why. I've just like been jamming them literally every day, like in the car, like if I'm going to get Dunkin' or something. Like, but like I've just been like trying to like dig deep into stuff that maybe I haven't listened to in a while, or new stuff that I would like to check out, just to like pull different kinds of inspiration. Cause like, you know, it gets old trying to pull from, you know, oh, you know, it's always darkest before the dawn. I could try to pull, you know, or like, you know, The Things We Carry or Songs of Scream at the Sun. Like, you know, those are all perfect records in my opinion. But I also don't want the OSC record to be an exact copy of like one of those records. I want it to be, you know, one of something special and like our own. I want to mm-hmm. have influences from all that, but make it our own pretty much. So,
yeah, no. And I think that's an important thing. And I don't think anyone like it's one of the things I think is the coolest is that there's a point where hardcore bands almost, it almost feels like you shouldn't say I'm trying to pull in outside influences, but if you're not doing that, it's almost like, are you just writing to a template, you know? And I don't think that's creative. I think that's like, it can be fine. Like sometimes if somebody just wants like, oh, I'm going to write a record that sounds like Brotherhood. Okay, cool. That's cool. Yeah. You know, like, I'm not going to hate on that. That's pretty cool. But but if you're trying to do something and you've got that energy and like, hey, I want to make something special, you have to bring in different influences. So I think both these records are highly anticipated for not just by myself, but I know both Tom and Patrick, who, you know, normally co-host, but are otherwise preoccupied on noon on Tuesday. But they, you know, it's the kind of thing where it's really exciting to see what your both your bands do. So you mentioned the Have Heart shows. Those were pretty big shows. You got to play a grip of them. You played L.A. and you played Worcester.
I mean, yeah. Both bands, between the two of them, we played all the U.S.
All four
shows.
U.S. states, yeah.
Right. So What was that like? Because you kind of used it as flagpoles for doing a full U.S. tour in the middle. So why don't you guys just tell me about summer 2019?
Oh, my God.
I mean, it was... You know, I was going through photos of it today, you know, kind of when I woke up. I don't know why. I was like, I remembered like some funny photo of like Dante and Ryan, and I was like trying to pull it. But like while I was like doing that, like I just found myself like digging through like the entirety of like that 3.5 weeks. And it was the craziest time ever, craziest tour I've ever done. I mean, for those of you who don't know, it's we did like 3.5 weeks around the Half Heart shows. Like, yeah. We booked it entirely, you know, me and Ryan, and then Half Heart, Sound and Fury, like This Is Hardcore, and then like a bunch in between. And it was a blast. It was wild, but it was a blast.
Yeah, those Half Heart shows were like, when I got the phone call from Pat, like saying like, yo, like, you know, we're
Half-Heart's coming back.
Yeah, Half-Heart's like, coming back.
I think my jaw hit the floor.
It's like Pat Flynn. What's up, man?
Yeah, what's up, man? Hey, what's up? He was just like,
I just want to know if you'd be in on it. let me know. Talk to the fellas.
Yeah, it was literally exactly like that.
Fellas, that's such a good Pat Flynnism.
Yeah, so good.
But like, it was an exciting moment when you get that call.
Oh, yeah, it was amazing. It was like I never thought I'd even be able to see that band ever, and like getting asked, you know, to play those shows. I was just talking to my friend the other day, and I was like, "Yo, like I actually literally can't believe like we played these shows." And I was like, "I'm not trying to be like, yo, like annoying or be like, like just." I don't know, being whatever about it, but it was just kind of like such a surreal experience. And I was looking back, I've also been looking back at like, you know, my archived photos from like my Instagram stories that were archived from that, from the summer. And I was like, holy shit. Like, you know, we did that at, you know, 18, 19 years old, and we booked it all ourselves. And then like, I don't know, I'm pretty proud of that tour just cause like, we did the Half Heart shows, Sound and Fury, and This Is Hardcore all in one tour. Like that is doesn't happen.
On it was really
check marks there. Yeah.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, I don't know. Like Ryan said, best like the best way to describe it is just like surreal and like, you know, it like it's, I don't know, it's like pulling up to the Palladium like on that first day. It was just like, I don't know, just the shock of like, oh wow, like this is super real, and like, I don't know, like this
we
is
walk
about
in
to happen. This isn't just like, this isn't just an Instagram post that like I've been looking at for, you know, a couple months. Like, this is real.
Literally, yeah. Yeah, for real. And we walk in and they're like sound checking with the machinist, and I was just like, what the fuck is going on? I was like, this is crazy, you know? And
there
is
like, nothing like watching Half Heart play to an entire empty venue. It was the craziest thing ever.
Yeah, that's true. That was a cool thing to see. And I mean, yeah, I think there was such a cool excitement around those shows that it's like, you know, as 18 and 19 year olds booking your own U.S. tour for the summer, I don't think there's anything cooler that you could have done, period. But then having it just so happen to be like mile markered with like, oh yeah, Half Heart show in Worcester, and then Sound and Fury with Half Heart in LA, and then like This Is Hardcore. It's like, shit, like, all right, that works out.
Yeah.
Well, what would you tell, you know, people your age or people, you know, a couple years younger than you or even a couple years older than you about that experience of booking the tour yourself? Like, obviously it wasn't all easy, but did you think it was valuable? Like, you both are proud of yourselves for doing it. Is that something you would tell people they should do?
110%. Yeah.
Like, without a doubt. I mean, you know, doing that tour being like 100%, just like, I don't know, just like hitting people up and like hoping to get a response. It was a really, I don't know.
It was all DIY.
Start with it.
It's something that I feel like every band needs to experience, where, like, you know, you're reaching out to people, you're making friends, you know, you're playing to shows that may be bust or they may be actually awesome. Like, who knows? And, like,
yeah,
I think that's the gamble with doing it yourself. And I feel like I learned a lot from that tour, and I kind of grew as a person from that tour, because just from, like, experiencing, you know, new places and meeting new people, and I became friends with a lot of people, like, I became friends with a lot of people on that tour that I, you know, I still talk to, like, regularly now. And it's right. it's an experience that I would hope that, you know, any band that wants to try to do it should just do it, because especially being, like, you know, right out of high school, pretty much, like,
yeah,
that's the best time, you know, meet new people, experience the world a little, and just, like, live it up before you, you know, maybe have to get, like, a full-time job or, like, can't really do it, you know, so.
Yeah, and I mean, I think purely from, like, a touring perspective, it's, like, a lot different from, you know, maybe doing a tour where there's a tour manager or, you know, somebody, you know, who has all the dates lined up for you or something like that. I mean, it's,
yep,
you just, as a band, you have to be, you know, just infinitely more self-reliable. You know, I think, you know, you have to, you know, work together a lot more. And I think, like, you know, in a lot of ways, it tries the patience and, like, the durability of everyone a lot more, because,
oh, for sure, yeah,
you know, yeah, it's, you know,
it's a lot, it's more just taxing on everybody, I feel,
because, I don't, like, you know, we've done, like, you know, a handful of tours in, like, the, you know, 6-7 whatever months, like, since then, but you know, like, nothing has been, like, that hard. But at the same time, like, I haven't, like, I don't know, feel like I've, like, really, like, learned as much or, like, tested myself as much on the road as we did on that tour.
Because me and Grady were, like, driving pretty much. We drove the whole country pretty much. Like, it was just me and him at the time that we were the only two people that were really driving, because I think everyone was a little afraid to drive the van.
Sure.
Yeah, so. I mean, and I mean this in, you know, all the love, and, like, I love everybody. I mean, it's what, but it's one step closer and anxious toward the U.S. Ryan and Grady drove across the U.S.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty much that. Yeah.
That's kind of the scenario there. So, I mean, it was, it was operating on very minimal, sleep, and I don't know.
Thing that's so fascinating to me is the idea, like, and I try to tell people this, like, I remember being a senior in high school, and it was funny. There was some, like, festival in Chicago that was, like, in spring. It was, like, around this time, like, April maybe. But I went, and it was, like, we left. I think I just took off Friday, and we drove all day Friday, me and friends, and then we drove home, like, overnight Sunday. There was a show in Cleveland on a Sunday night, and we drive home. I got home at 5 a.m., and, like, took a shower and went to school. And I remember somebody be like, oh, what'd you do this weekend? I was like, oh, I went to Chicago. Oh, like, your family? Or something? I was like, no, just, like, me and some friends. And it was like they looked at me like I was an alien, because, to be honest, you kind of are, because you're doing something that's so, so different than the normal experience. Like, how many teenagers, groups of, like, 17, 18, 19, 20 year olds all pile in a van and just cruise, go travel the country and meet new friends and new people and play in their bands. Like, that's such a unique experience. And I hope it never gets lost on people, like, how cool and magical that shit is. And like, seeing that do it was like so awesome.
I don't know.
It's I don't know.
Yeah. I mean,
something special. It really is.
Yeah. I mean, it's, I don't know. It's like, it's so special, and it's like, you can't even compare it to like other like experiences like at this age. I mean, I don't know. I really like want to pick Dante's like brain about it sometime soon. Cause I mean, he was just 16. He was like 16 or
17, was, just turned 17.
Yeah.
That
finishing his junior year in high school. Right.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I would love to hear the conversations that kid has with like people at his high school about like, oh, what'd you do? You know, last week. Oh, I went to Chicago or whatever. I don't know. It is really wild. It is super foreign, but I don't know. I think it's infinitely more cool and fun than any other way you could spend your time at this age. Seriously. Yeah,
So, with that said, let's wrap it up. You guys both are in the midst of finalizing new records this year. Everybody's psyched about that. Mm-hmm. Hopefully this whole thing goes away. So this is another reminder, stay in, stay safe, all that shit. So you can go see Anxious and One Step Closer sooner rather than later.
Yeah.
Anything else you guys want to say, promote, anything else coming up? Cause I think there are some, I'll let you guys, anything else you want to say or promote before we get going?
Grady? I mean, if this whole thing, you know, goes away, say, you know, June, end of May, June, even July, and everything else stays on schedule, I mean, One Step Closer and Anxious will kind of be a little bit of everywhere, from like August to December. So,
yeah,
you know, keep an eye out for that. And,
If things, everybody keep your fingers crossed because you're both supposed to play Sound and Fury if it happens in July. So.
I hope so.
And
if,
and some other stuff too in July for One Step Closer at least. So like I know,
same for Anxious as well. Yep. So
yeah,
fingers crossed.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. I mean, it's stay inside. That's all.
Okay, what are some friend bands, new bands, whatever you want to shout out and tell people that you check out. We want to shout out the Last Straw demo, obviously.
Yes, definitely Last Straw demo. Yep. Choice to Make just put out a record not too long ago. That's another band that I play guitar in. Okay. We were supposed to have our record release like, you know, last month, and it ended up getting canceled because of the virus and stuff. So we'll definitely be doing another record release, and we'll probably be trying to do some weekends and stuff. So definitely keep an eye out for that.
I'll shout out, I mean, Connecticut in since 2020 has had like a million new bands. So listen to Wreckage. If you like things like Sheer Terror and Agnostic Front, there's a new band called Ill Communication. You know, if you like No Warning and like Outburst, Dominion 18, if you like it really heavy. Third Degree, which features
Kyle from Glory.
It's Kyle on vocals, and then a lot of, or I don't know if it's other people from Restraining Order, but I know at least Pat is in that band. And then a moment of self-promotion. Me and Ryan playing a new band called Last Straw. We just put out a demo on Youngblood Records, so check that out too.
There's definitely gonna be some more Wolfsbear bands coming too. I know people have been working on projects, and Tommy and I are doing another project and stuff too. So hopefully, you know, I don't know how much those projects will be playing, but it's just cool to see Wolfsbear super active and like trying to do bands and stuff. It's definitely a good time for the Northeast right now, I feel.
Yeah,
really definitely.
Good. Shout out to Wilkes-Barre forever. One of the coolest places. So thank you dudes for doing this. And I'll talk to you very soon. Have a good one, guys.
Yeah, you too, Ben.
All right.